Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
Well, that doesn't put you in the mood. I don't know what does. Baseball's coming back. The Red Sox are going to have a season, a 60-game season. Have you forgotten about the team? I think we've forgotten about a lot of teams. I think we've forgotten about a lot of things. Who's going to skate on the Bruins' third line, Murray?
Oh, jeez.
Have you ever heard of Andre Kosh?
Yep.
Oh, Kosh, yeah.
I knew that. Remember him? We forget. You want to talk about forgetting about the team? Boy, the Red Sox.
The Red Sox.
So here is Red Sox report with Tony Maserati. I want you to fill me back in on the team. Do you think they have a shot this year with the 60-game schedule, Maz?
Yep, I do. Sure, absolutely. With a 60-game schedule, everyone has a shot. That's the beauty of it. So anyone can play well for a 60-game stretch. So yeah, hell yeah, they have a shot. This abbreviated season is so good for the Red Sox, it isn't even funny.
Okay,
they needed something that was good news, and a 60-game schedule is good news.
All right, so beyond that, beyond the nature of the new format, why do they have a chance? Why are they good?
Well, look, they still have a pretty good lineup that's going to score runs. They have a guy at the front of the rotation that I was going to say almost won 20 games last year. I don't remember if Eduardo Rodriguez actually did it or not. I don't focus on that. Okay, at 19 or, you know, I know he was going for 20 on the final start of the season. So the point is, if Eduardo Rodriguez pitches well and they score, they finish with, call it, I don't know, let's say they can go 35 and 25. I think they're in.
That's all
I think, and one pitcher, Mike, can have that much of an impact on a team in a short sample. Absolutely.
All right, I was going to ask, that's all they need is one pitcher?
Well, if you play 500 the rest of the time and he gets a dozen starts and you go, you know, let's call it 10 and 2 in his starts, you're 8 games over 500 right out of the gate. And they're only going to be playing teams in the division. Baltimore still blows. They're going to be playing some teams from the NL East. So I just think that there is a chance. Sure, there's a chance. Am I telling you they're the favorite? No, they're not the favorite, but it's not like they're a team with zero talent.
Boy,
I don't look at them like the Baltimore Orioles and say, well, it doesn't matter how many games you play. It's not going to matter. They still have a lot of guys in that lineup that can hit. They have a guy, at the front end of the rotation that can win games. And if they get hot for just a little while, which they can given their talent, they absolutely can make the playoffs.
Okay. So we're putting a lot on Eddie Rodriguez after one, you know, stellar year.
Lightning in a bottle year.
Well, so, right, what is he? Does he come back to earth this year? And where's his head at? You know, what's his work ethic?
That's a guy that's going to miss Alex Cora.
What's his intangible factor? He's someone I've always kind of questioned in that regard, Maz. Is he someone who can grind it out during the pandemic and show up in great shape, ready to go?
I don't know. I mean, I have doubts about that, too. You asked me, do they have a shot? My answer is yes.
Okay.
So look, now again, if you're asking me to handicap the field, you know, in all probability, they're out. But in 60 games, it's just, I can't look past that variable. That's a huge variable. 60 games changes everything.
No, you have two or three good weeks and tread water the rest, you're in, right? I mean, obviously.
Mike, if you have a good week and a half, you're in. You go 9-1 over a 10-game span, you could probably make the playoffs.
Maz, give me the rotation.
Okay. Eduardo Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi, Martin Perez.
Okay, so now, I mean, after you get past two, I'm like, I got to remember. All right, that's right. Martin Perez, they signed in the offseason. Yep, go ahead.
Catch the excitement.
Get past two. Get past one. Who are you kidding? I'm not sure Nathan Eovaldi's any great shakes.
I like Eovaldi. Keep going.
Okay, Martin Perez, Ryan Weber. Go ahead, say it.
Who's that?
He was the dude who used to cock his head to the shoulder, right? That's what I'm thinking of.
He used to cock his head to his shoulder.
You're thinking of Ryan Brazier.
Ryan Brazier, that's who I was.
Brazzers.
Brazzers, yeah.
Yeah, subscription ran out. Jimmy was too cheap to keep paying. So Ryan Weber, is this one of the guys they got from the Dodgers?
No, he was here at the end of last year. And
of course, that would be Alan Webster. And that was the trade of Carl Crawford.
Thank you. I'm keep going.
So the Weber is a nobody. I mean, the last two spots are scary. And the last one's a bullpen game. I don't know who they're gonna they're gonna do there.
That's not scary. That crap works. And we've got a super nerd in the front office. Those guys, you look at the track record of the bullpen game with the super nerds across the league, it's pretty good. It's better than your crappy fourth, fifth starter.
But a manager who's never done it before, who didn't know what it was.
Well, true. But anyway, he's not calling it anyway. Carmine's going to have the printout, and then you're going to hand Renicky the printout from the nerd from Yale up stairs, and he's just going to paint by numbers. He's going to do what the nerd tells him.
Correct.
This is now baseball, and it works. So, boy, what a crap-ass rotation this is. Eddie Rodriguez is your ace, followed by Nathan Eovaldi, and then something named Martin Perez, Ryan Weber, and bullpen. That is low-grade garbage.
Ryan Weber.
Who's a closer?
It's Workman.
Okay, give me their bullpen. Who's the seventh guy? Who's the eighth guy? Do they have a lefty guy? I know it's a little different. You got to face three batters, so the lefty specialist isn't quite the same. But
Barnes is still there, right?
So give me the bullpen.
I would tell you that primarily it's whatchamacallit?
The wheel of gut bumps?
Workman and Barnes. After that, I think it gets very gray very quickly. I don't know who else I trust in that bullpen other than those two guys, and I'm not sure I even trust those two guys.
Is Brazier still there?
Yeah, Brazier and Hembry are still there, I believe, yeah.
So, yeah, but again, in what role, right? Like, because those guys really...
Spin the wheel, Mez.
Well, they could be fourth or fifth guys. I mean, I sort of stop with ninth and eighth innings. After that, I can't tell you how it's going to shake out. So Barnes and Workman will have significant roles in that bullpen at the end of the game. Who's the seventh inning guy? No idea. Who's the sixth inning guy? No idea. Couldn't begin to tell you. Colton Brewer's still in that bullpen, too. He's the spin rate guy. Remember him?
Yep.
Okay, so it's all the same bums you had a year ago. That isn't going to change any.
Is it possible the bullpen's actually better than the rotation, though?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Mike, think of what they've lost in the rotation.
Barnes is
they've
good
lost
stuff.
Sale. They've lost Price. They've lost Porcello. All three of those guys gone. That's it. So, you know, again, for different reasons. One was a trade. One was a free agent. One was an injury. But if you add it up, that's like, what, $85 million in your rotation that's gone? And so the bullpen does return, but the obvious point is it wasn't good when you had it.
Okay, what's the lineup?
Okay, so the lineup has a chance to be pretty good. And to me, this is the one that really could be the saving grace for them. So, you know, I think it could be Benintendi or Verdugo leading off. But for the sake of, you know, just for the sake of discussion, I put Benintendi first because he hasn't hit for a ton of power. And then I think you'll see Devers second. That's where he was last year. Bogarts at shortstop batting third. J.D. Martinez is fourth. And then Moreland, Verdugo, and probably something like Vasquez, Bradley, and Jose Peraza batting ninth at second base.
I'm sorry, who's that last guy you said?
Jose Peraza, yep.
Okay, so Bradley's no longer your worst hitter? I was going to say, Jackie Bradley's now moved up to the eighth spot because you have something in the ninth spot that's even worse?
Well, so... Yeah, I think Peraza's worse. I do. I think Peraza's worse than Bradley. And honestly, I would have had Bradley seventh, but if you do that with the list I put together, you would have three lefties in a row there in the middle with Moreland, Verdugo, and then Bradley, which they won't do.
Well, let me ask you, because do you think that changes? And we'll get to some of the rules here in a minute, but there is now that three-batter minimum thing. You can't match up the lefties like you used to. Do you think that changes the left-right thing in the lineup?
I mean, it does a little bit, but I think that's more reason to not put three guys together. In other words, you could then bring a lefty in to face three lefties in a row.
Yeah, stupid me.
Right?
Maz, give me the name of the nine hitter again, please.
Jose Peraza.
Peraza. Go ahead, keep talking.
Okay, so he's a guy that we don't know a lot about. I mean, he's basically been a utility guy that they think they can get a little more out of. He's had flashes of success, but nothing's sustained. And again, now in and I'm just calling up his numbers here from last year, but now in a short season, 60 games, I don't know, maybe they get something out of a guy like Peraza. You know, it's hard to determine exactly who's going to give you what. So Brock Holt could give you a good 60 games, but, you know, Peraza back in 2016 with the Reds hit 324. And then 2 years ago, he hit 288. Last year was 239. So, you know, clearly, Chaim Bloom thinks that they can get something out of him at second base in terms of offensive production. And again, I think they're going to score. I don't know if they'll be top two in the league because Houston and the Yankees are still dominant lineups. I mean, those two teams are really, really good. But the Red Sox should be able to score if they can get just average pitching. If they can get average pitching, they have a chance to make the playoffs.
Okay, so again, I don't know why I'm stuck on the 8-9 thing, but Peraza's a career 273 hitter.
Yes.
He's a better hitter than Jackie Bradley.
In terms of average, yes. He's getting, no power, though.
I know that's an antiquated thing, but I don't know. I don't know why I'm fixated on that. But the lineup is good. Agreed. The lineup is good. They should contend for a playoff berth, Maz, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. In a 60-game season, there's no excuse. If they were to come out and go, let's just say worst case, they go 22-38. That's a disaster. That is a freaking disaster if that happens. After all this, you get all these breaks. And when I say all these breaks, meaning that you're playing just a 60-game schedule and you can't even come out and, you know, win half your games. And I saw the over-under in some of the odds makers today has them pegged at 31.5. So
over.
Yeah, so clearly Vegas thinks they're going to end up with a winning record. I think that they should end up with a winning record. And in 60 games, a winning record might be enough. You know, if you can get to 34, 35 wins, it might be enough to get in.
I think 35 is the goal. 35. Win 35 of these 60 games. I think they have that in them. Real quick, the schedule. Is that doing them any favors? AL East, NL East. So AL East for 40 games, right? NL East for 20 games. Do I have that right? So the NL East is obviously Nationals, defending champion, Mets, Braves pretty good, et cetera. So is that a tough schedule or not?
Well, so I think it's harder. I mean, there's a couple of real lambs in there. One is the Marlins and one is the Orioles. Okay, so they should be able to clean up on Baltimore. Not that you can take anything for granted with the Red Sox pitching staff being what it is, but the Yankees are better. To me, the real variable is Toronto. So Toronto's invested some money in that team. They had some young players on the roster at the end of the year, and they added the lefty from the Dodgers, Hyunjin Ryu, if you remember.
Yeah, sure.
And so if Toronto is decent, that to me, Toronto or Boston, one of those teams is going to sort of pop out of the woodwork. You know, you're always going to have your hands full with Tampa Bay, whether they make the playoffs or not. The games aren't going to be easy. And then, you know, there are some good teams in the National League East, but there's a couple of dogs at the bottom. So, I don't think it's a brutal schedule. I don't think it's absurdly easy. I'd put it somewhere in the middle. But Toronto's a huge key. If they can beat up on Toronto, then I think their chances are going to be pretty good.
Okay, there's a straight Red Sox segment for you. How's that? Sporty. Sporty segment, Red Sox report, courtesy of Tony Maserati. You can weigh in on that. We'll get to some of the rules coming up this year in MLB and your calls on everything. Don't go anywhere.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Velger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it. We've been waiting for the universal designated hitter, Scott, for what feels like decades now. But the runner starting on second base in extra innings is a really interesting one and something that's been in play in the minor leagues, in the World Baseball Classic. It will not be in play in the postseason. So if you are afraid that you're going to lose a postseason game because a runner starting on second base in the 10th inning, then, you know, no fears. The idea behind doing it now, number one, is to test it out. But number two, more than that, we recognize that with this aborted second spring training, you know, 3 weeks to get pitchers ready, guys' arms just aren't going to be the same. That's why rosters are going to start off at 30 for the first 2 weeks of the season and go to 28 before eventually settling at 26. But the idea of taxing arms again and again in these interminable 15, 16, 17 inning games, no, you just get it over with. The issue with this, of course, is that it winds up being one of those scenarios where you bunt a guy over to third, and then you have a couple of intentional walks, and then you're looking for a sacrifice fly. Is that really how you want games to end? It's going to be interesting to see it happening at the big league level and what the recourse really is.
So that's Jeff Passan on some of the rule changes. Here they are to discuss the major league season, which will get going in about 4 weeks. Extra innings. Each team will start with a runner on second base. All right, there's a DH in both leagues. Okay, so the universal DH. The three-batter minimum for pitchers remains intact, that rule that was going to be in place anyway. They're going to keep that here for the abbreviated season. I had read that games postponed due to weather prior to the fifth inning are not going to be, you know, washed away and started over. They're just going to be picked up in the third or fourth inning when they get back to play.
Yep, they're now deemed to be suspended games.
Okay, and again, I'm going on a list of things that they should just do permanently, because why you would ever go back and replay innings, like there's not enough baseball where you, if it's called in the fourth inning, you have to go back and replay the first four innings. I mean, it's just so
a waste of time.
Freaking exactly. Asinine. Like, good God.
In fact, I'm okay if you wipe it from the schedule entirely, but that's a, you know, and I'm half joking, obviously, but anyway.
Trade deadline, August 31st, so there will be trades. So, Maz, your thoughts on these rules?
Okay, so generally speaking, I like them all. I do. I like them all. I love the idea of the runner on second base. Let's give it a shot. 60-game season. Let's see what it looks like. Those 14-inning games are asinine. We all know it, let alone the ones that go longer. So, fine. I'm all for it. Three-batter minimum? I'm in. Absolutely. DH in both leagues? I'm in, albeit with an asterisk. And the asterisk being, if it's going to be just another jackass who goes up there to strike out, walk, or hit a home run, then I'd rather have the pitcher in there bunting. Okay, I'd rather have something happen on a play than nothing happen. So I'm hoping that over time that there are further adjustments and rules modifications and that DH spot becomes an actual player who can do multiple things. But that's sort of down the road. Overall, I'm pro-DH in both leagues. I think that's good. It creates a chance for a little more unpredictable action, for lack of a better word. So, you know, again, I'm for pretty much all the above. Absolutely.
I hate the DH in the National League.
Me too.
It slows it down by adding it. And you take away some of those good stories you get, like Madison Bumgarner, who was actually a good batter. And that, you know, that's out now. It's just going to be some other fat guy that's a softball player.
There is a layer of strategy to it. I mean, there just is. Never mind double switches and all of that. But, you know, what you do with the eight batter and the ball is going to be in play. It's, you know, obviously going to be a strikeout more than anything else. But at least the ball moves. The infielder moves on those sacrifice bunts. And I know I sound stupid, like promoting the value of a sacrifice bunt. But I'm sorry. A sacrifice bunt has become more interesting to me than a walk or a strikeout. It has.
For sure.
And also, it moves the game. It moves the game. It does.
Sure.
It does. You know, here's, you know what bugs me about baseball is that, you know, so my team's a National League team, the Brewers, and so now it's going to be a universal DH, and I just wanted to look up
How are we going to do with that? Is that going to help us or is that going to hurt us? And one of the first things that came up is a Fangraphs story on the Universal DH. And I just want to read from you how they now, how the modern baseball fan approaches the game. I just want to...
Can I turn my headphones off during this? Because I know what it is.
I mean, listen, I just want to hear who's our DH and how does that stack up against other DHs and is that actually an advantage for us? But no. We don't look at that anymore. That's not what we do. Here's what we do now in baseball. This is part of the reason why the sport's dying. Our depth charts at Fangraphs tell us they currently project National League teams for a 291.5 WAR on the position player side, while the American League comes in at 314.3 WAR, a difference of 22.8 WAR. The main source of that difference is the DH, where AL teams are projected for a 27.1 WAR and 700 plate appearances per team, while National League teams are projected for an 8.8 WAR and 300 plate appearances per team. While those 300 PA are deemed part of the designated hitter category, in reality, it's mostly pitch hitting opportunities, which come without the positional adjustment associated with the designated...
I stopped listening about a sentence in.
Seriously.
Do you have any idea what they just said?
Nope.
Nope.
And so, like... When we were kids, Maz, and we followed...
You want the Maz translation? I'll give you the Maz translation in a minute, but go ahead.
And no, we would go get a baseball card. We'd look on the back and see that Yaz is hitting 298. Yeah. And that's it. And we all knew what it was. We all knew what it meant.
This fat guy hit 28 home runs last year.
Exactly.
I like him as the DH.
And we understood what it meant. We understood what 100 RBIs were and 30 home runs and a 300 batting average. Now, you look up how the DH is going to impact the NL, and I get something that says... The projected National League teams for 291.5 WAR on the position player side, while the American League comes in at 314.3 WAR, a difference of 22.8 WAR. I have no idea what the hell any of that means.
What it means is the American League teams have more old fat guys. That's what it means. It's really that simple. They build their rosters for the DH, and National League didn't, so the American League has better DHs.
And that's how the story leads. They ultimately do get to a chart where they project who the team's DHs would be in the NL, and now I'm saying, okay... I even think they ranked them. The St. Louis Cardinals will have Matt Carpenter as their DH. That's a great DH.
Yeah, good one. Absolutely. He can hit.
He's kind of like a modern-day Paul Molitor guy. Like, he's got some pop, but he's just sort of a heady, intangible player. I'm always scared when Matt Carpenter comes up. That's a good, cool DH. Something's going to happen with Matt Carpenter going up to bat. The Dodgers is Max Muncy. And my team, the Brewers, Ryan Braun. I'm like, okay, cool. Brawny, get back on the juice, is going to be the DH. Like, that I could wrap my head around. But they spend two pages on the WAR thing. It's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, man. And that's baseball today. That's one of the problems in a nutshell.
And I mean, the Dodgers are built for it. Muncy's perfect. He's perfect DH.
Okay.
And Braun's a good one, too. I mean, given what the National League has at that spot, the Brewers are in good shape there.
Perfect DH. He's always hurt, so sit him down. Just hit four times a game and shut your yap. But what are the nerds going to do that extra inning thing? Because you heard Passan say, you know, if I'm in extra innings and I'm playing for a run, and I've got a runner on second, nobody out, that's a sack bunt every single time I bunt. But the nerds don't like the bunt there because they want to play for multiple runs. Now, do they finally change when it's extra innings or not? But the metrics tell you, the advanced analytics tell you, that you have a better chance of scoring multiple runs if you don't bunt. You have a slightly better chance of scoring one run if you bunt that runner over from second. But, so what are the when the nerds get a hold of this, is it all going to look the same? Okay, runner on second, nobody out to start extra innings, bunt them to third. Then the nerds on the other side say, okay, the analytics say to walk the next two guys to load the bases, get the force play. And now every inning's going to be runner, bases loaded, one out. And that's what every extra inning's going to look like because the nerds take over. Is that what's going to happen?
And so I think it's going to – now, look, again, I'm trying to use logic here. So, you know, shame on me. I think it depends where you are in the lineup, what your team looks like, and what your bullpen's like. So if you have a good bullpen and you're at the bottom of the order, yeah, you're going to bunt the guy over, you're going to play for a fly ball, and you're going to try to win the game by a run. If you're in the middle of your lineup and your bullpen sucks, you're going to try to score multiple runs and you're going to hit away. That's what I'd like to think they will do. But again, the nerds being what they are and who they are, I'm sure they'll come up with something different.
Oh, it scares me. I mean, forget about a hit and run. That is so old. That is so archaic. Garbage hit and run. You know, trying someone hit behind the runner at second to move him to third, maybe slap it through the hole. They don't do that anymore. They're waiting to launch it into the stands or take the walk. So I wonder if the nerds are going to ruin even the extra inning thing. And let me give them a bit of advice.
Oh, I can guarantee you they will.
This runner on second business, just do it for one inning. do it for one inning. Each team gets a runner on second. Play out the inning, and if it's still tied, bring out the nets. Home run derby, three batters. Let's go. Okay? That's what you really should do. Lord knows, the nerds are going to get a hold of this, and we'll get 15-inning games still with the runner starting on second, because it's all going to be, you know, they're all going to treat it the same.
I like the idea of, I don't know, I don't think they'll do the home run derby. I'm not telling you I'm against it, but how about you add another runner in the 10th? Now it's first and second.
They'll probably have
and then
some.
You get to the 11th, or the 12th, load them up. Like, to me, you want the game to end? Add a runner every inning.
Okay. We're not taking your Fakakta ideas, but we will take your calls. We'll do it right after Big Jim Murray's update.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, calls, as promised, here's Eric in Pittsfield on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Eric. What do you got?
Yeah, hey. Thanks for taking my call, guys. How do you view a team? How legitimate do you view a title based on a team winning on a 60-game schedule? Hey, my other thought is I see baseball down 7-8%. I know I'm not going back. I'm really disgusted with what's taking place. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, well, if the second thing is how you feel, then what do you care about the first thing?
Right.
Okay. And what was the first thing he sort of, I didn't hear all of it, is it like...
Asterisk.
Yeah.
He's asking about, asterisk on a 60-game season, and I tell you that it's going to exist. Absolutely it will exist.
But I'm going to apply it to any of these sports, though, because the mental focus it's going to take is unlike anything that's ever happened before in professional sports. So the title is going to stand, but you call it the COVID title if you want, but it's not going to lessen it by any way, shape, or form, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to come down to like the World Series. If you win the World Series... A seven-game series for the, you know, a legit, evenly played seven-game series. I don't know. I wonder if we're just going to, I mean, how could we ever forget it? But I wonder.
No way.
No, you think?
Not in baseball because of the 60-game schedule, Mike. And it's because it's a sport. And I'm not telling you how, you know, I personally would probably still lean toward the asterisk. But the people that are hardcore baseball, oh, my gosh, the idea of a 60-game season, they think is sacrilege, for crying out loud. Those people, like you listen to the Tim Kirkjians of the world and the Jason Starks, you're going to play a 60-game season? You might as well, like, you know, stop life on the planet. The way these guys, seriously, the idea of playing, you're better off playing zero.
Oh, they got to get over themselves. It'll still stand. Hell, there's an asterisk on the 2018 title, and that stands.
So remember, last year, the Nationals were 19-31.
Right?
The Nationals were 19-31. And so it is a game, and at this stage, I would hope that it changes, but it's a game that's measured over the long haul. It's a marathon, and I'd love to see him change that a little bit, but until that does, this will get an asterisk.
Clement Chemsholder has been waiting patiently to talk some baseball. Clem, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
So I was just a quick comment about pace of play was I think it's tied, the problem with pace of play is tied to the demise of the art of the complete game. You know, when you think of, like, Mark Burley taking the ball, those games are fast. You know, David Price, they take forever. So, I mean, it's very possible to solve the pace of play problem. 21-man roster, enforce the strike zone, armpits to knees, lower the mound to 8 inches. You got 45-minute less games. Your thoughts on it?
Hey, Clem, just quickly. I don't maybe you hung up.
I'll answer for him.
Well, so I was going to say, if David Price is on the mound and he throws a complete game, is it going to be fast?
Nope.
So it's got nothing to do with the complete game. It's the pace. Mark Burley's games are fast because Burley worked fast.
Okay, but
so I thought where I thought he was going was the 7-inning game. Change it to 7 innings. Maybe we'll see more complete games. Maybe it makes the nerds reassess how they do everything. Like, now we're talking. Make it a 7-inning game. Well, like, now I'm in.
Pitching changes are a part of it. It doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't help a bullpen game. The manager's out there every 2 or 3 innings. Like, that doesn't help matters. But the biggest issue is pitch to pitch. The pitch-to-pitch grind, the pitcher's holding the ball an extra couple seconds, the batter's stepping out, that grind, and every at-bat is now a deep at-bat because every batter is waiting for the perfect pitch to drive out of the park or draw the walk. And that's the number one issue. But I do think, this the rule that they're going to keep, the three-batter minimum, I think is a step in the right direction, Maz. I do.
I like that rule. I told you, I wish Manfred were more aggressive with these rules in the 60-gamer. I'd put in the pitch clock. I'd do the whole thing. Like, I'd stick a lot of this stuff in there now and see if people go, oh, now there's a reason to watch. How about that? So there were good, some of the new rules are okay. The three-batter minimum, and I know that's specifically what we're focused on. I like it. I've always liked it. I'd get rid of the shift. I would get rid of, I'd institute a pitch clock. I'd put all these things in to get the game moving.
John in Westwood on an NBA thought. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Jim. I just wanted to say, love your style. It's very, Ronald Reagan-esque. It's awesome. But my issues with Maz, earlier when you guys were talking about Orlando and the bubble, the NBA bubble, all that, you said that you want to put ankle bracelets on them. For me, that's, but he said ankle bracelets. I didn't love that terminology. I mean, I just personally hated it.
John, listen, if you took it that way, I'm sorry you took it that way. I didn't mean it that way. What I would tell you, what if I said a dog collar, like an electric dog fence collar? So to me, the idea is that anybody who ventures over the line gets zapped.
Exactly.
You can't leave the territory.
The point is, if these guys are going to be going to the clubs, if Novak Djokovic is going to be shirts off doing the worm on stage and going to these crowded clubs, and these guys, again, the Phillies have had this big outbreak, 11 guys in Clearwater. And according to Jason Stark, the outbreak started, and I'll just quote him directly, most of it started with a post-workout social gathering at a local establishment, not the complex itself. So again, social gathering at a local establishment. If these guys can't stay out of the club, if they can't be personally responsible and do the right thing, these leagues aren't going to make it. It's up to the players. So Maz was just saying, you can't put the dog collar on them. You can't zap them. You can't have the arm guards at the edge of the bubble in Disney World. It's up to the players to do it themselves.
You're ultimately putting your faith in humanity, and you will be let down.
And if they can't,
for sure.
And if they can't do it, they have no shot. That's one of the topics on the board today. We'll get to the rest of them and your calls right after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't want to bog down the conversation over this next topic, but I'm going to a degree, because anybody that ever played baseball, I don't care if you dipped or if it was a big old chaw or seeds, you spit. It's not an attractive habit, but it's what you do, man. And you can't spit, allegedly. Who's policing that, and what's the penalty?
No. Listen, it's in the operations manual. In fact, there is a section. This is like a 100-plus page document. And you have to give credit to baseball and the players, honestly, for going to the lengths where there are paragraphs on spitting. And there's literally one, Scott, that says wet rag. There's a wet rag that pitchers are going to carry around in their pockets in lieu of, you know, going like that and getting a little bit of moisture on their fingers to go to the ball. You are not allowed to lick your fingers on a baseball field anymore. And they are taking extreme and excessive lengths. And baseball is going to look different if it gets back on the field. We've got all the money stuff taken care of. Now there's the question, of course, is the virus going to let games be played this year?
It's up to the players. Forget the licking and on the field and the spitting. Obviously, that should be the protocol and should be the recommendation. How strictly is it going to be enforced or adhered to? Who knows? Can the guys stay out of the club? Can they stay out of the strip club? Can they stay out of the dance club? Can they stay out of the crowded bar? Can they stay out of the even outdoor bar? If you're packed in like sardines but outdoors, that's still not what they're looking for. So to me, that's the issue. That's the issue. And if the players can do it, we'll have sports. If they can't, we won't. And that's what it's going to come down to. The leagues can try as hard as they want. It's up to these guys. And the Phillies couldn't keep it together. And I just wonder, of all these little, you know, these little flare-ups of positive tests in all sports, where'd it come from? You know, did it come from these guys because these guys were going out? And if so, I think the teams have the right to be agitated. And I don't want to hear from their agents or their unions or anything like that, that the leagues are putting it at risk, or what about the health of the players? Well, I don't want to hear about the health of the players if you're going out to the club. I don't want to hear it. So, like, I think that's a major point in these sports getting back and staying on the field.
And you got to stress to these players, you know, for the NBA players down in Disney. Like, look, you got everything you need essentially at your fingertips. Is it what you're used to? No. But can you just not travel off the grounds, you know? And for Major League Baseball players, you just say, like, look, just don't go to clubs. Don't go to a bar. Don't do anything like that. I don't think that's that big of an ask if you want to try to get these things going and keep them going.
Well, look, it's pretty basic. If everybody inside the bubble is healthy and virus free, what does it matter if they spit?
Right.
Or, you know, again, or go to the mouth on the mound or any of that. This is the whole point. You can't let the virus in. So you can't venture off campus. You can't cross the border, so to speak. You can't do any of that stuff. You got to just stay in there and find ways to entertain yourself when you're not at the ballpark, and find ways to entertain yourself that, you know, do not threaten the health of other people.
For just a couple months, keep it in your pants.
Seriously.
And stay out of the club.
Seriously.
And keep your shirt on, Djokovic. Just stay off. Stay out of the club and out of the strip club, and just for a couple months. Can you do it?
And going back to that wet rag from that sound that we just played, I'm legitimately curious, where are they going to keep that? You ever have a wet rag in your back pocket? Nian, with damp ass, it sucks.
Damp ass. Yep,
that's where it'll be in your pocket.
Is it just for pitchers or is it for every player? Because if it's for pitchers, you can put it in a little Tupperware container. Seriously.
No, like, but they like to have it with them on the mound, Murray. I mean, I suppose that, you know, they could throw it on the back of the mound like what they do with the rosin bag. You could keep it back there. But players are going to be required to have their own pine tar. Now you got to carry it with you to the on-deck circle. You're not just sharing a pine tar rag. Like, all that stuff, it's all individual. And look, honestly, if these guys are complaining about having a damp cloth, okay, wet rag, damp cloth. whatever in their back pockets, oh, then go to hell. Don't even show up,
right,
please.
Especially when you're having gatherings at local establishments.
Right.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So anyway, that's just one of the topics. We also we circled back to the Brady workouts in Tampa. You can weigh in on that. Got a couple calls on the board on that. And the Bubba Wallace situation and the NASCAR investigation. In fact, Stephen Raleigh has been waiting patiently on that one. Go ahead, Steve. What do you got?
Yeah, what I got is, in you nincompoops, I haven't thought about this. As you say, his garage is determined by how he did the week before. So they got a whole week between when he finishes the last race to the next race. Now, those things, they got to move all their tools down, their compressors, the whole shamil. Now, anybody can get in there, and anybody from the south, by the time they're five, can do a noose.
Steve, and it was already there.
Anybody could.
Well, but what he's saying, and thanks for the call, is it was there. Did anyone know it was there? And they should have known in the 5 days, 7 days, whatever, running up to the race that Wallace was going to be in the four garage because that's where he placed in the standings. And so they did know he was. It's random. He wasn't assigned there. The garages are, and I'm reading straight from the ESPN story, garage workspaces are assigned to teams per their rank in the NASCAR Cup Series standings. So the caller's phone wasn't good enough. Is he saying they had the standings in hand a week beforehand and, you know, could have seen the noose and taken care of it before he got in there?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, if that's what he's getting at, and you want to say whoever, you know, whoever goes through the list and assigns the garages ultimately based on it should have checked it out ahead of time, I guess. I mean, is that standard protocol? Is that something they would normally do? Let's check all the ropes on the garage doors to make sure there isn't anything offensive in there. I bet you they'll do it now.
I mean, again, also according to this report, and it is just, it's mind-blowing that according to NASCAR, every one of the pull-down ropes at Talladega was checked as part of the FBI investigation, and the only one fashioned into a noose was the rope in garage number 4, which was assigned to Richard Petty Motorsports 43 and Bubba Wallace. So it's, again, as we've been saying all day, it's so 2020 that the one garage that has that draws the one African-American driver on the whole circuit the very week the world is burning and there's Confederate flag parades outside the stadium. It's like, of course.
Couldn't have been anyone else.
Of course, right? It couldn't have been anyone. And so it's like, I mean, that is a whopper of a coincidence, that one right there. But if that's going to happen, it's going to happen this year because everything else is happening. Dan in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, you guys were kind of touching on, you know, with the players, especially in the NBA. My question was initially about baseball, but I guess it will involve all sports and the multiple bubbles. And if they're going to allow trades and a player gets traded from one bubble to another bubble, is he going to have to quarantine when he gets to the new bubble and not be able to play for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm going to have to bubble him up and ship him out in bubble wrap.
It's a great question.
Well, no, but I mean, in baseball, there's no bubbles. You know, you're all in your home city and your home stadium and flying to different games. So the baseball trade deadline, and I don't think there's trades in the other sports. You know, you're in the playoffs. In baseball, there's no bubble. So they are going to have trades. They are going to have a trade deadline. I don't think there needs to be a quarantine if every team is presumably doing the right thing.
Well, I don't know. How's the guy going to get there?
So he's going to
fly commercially?
How's he going to get there? Fly him private. Bubble him up. These guys have the money.
I mean, honestly, I was surprised when I saw there was a trade deadline. 30 games in? So what, you're 15 and 15? You got to decide whether or not you're trading a player away?
Well, right, and the bigger question is, and this goes to the asterisk point, you know, is this championship going to be valued like every other one? If you have a chance to win this championship, are you going to give up prospects and give up something really valuable to win a title in a year that people may not take seriously? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, my answer is no, absolutely not. So, because I just think it's a, you know, it's a diminished title and you're not going to trade, you know, particularly a prospect that you could hold for a number of years. No way. Now, if you have a veteran guy and, you know, you're going to lose him anyway to free agency, would you take nickels on the dollar for him? Maybe, I guess. Like, what the hell? You're going to lose him anyway? Although I think they, I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember if part of this agreement is, I think it was under the owner's agreement when they were negotiating that they weren't going to have a standard off season, right? So there wasn't going to be free agent compensation or, you know, qualifying offers and all that. I don't want to, I don't want to get it too complicated. But to me, it's going to be an inactive deadline. I don't think you're going to see many trades.
Okay, going to continue with your calls on everything from the day right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.